Hey, hey, have you heard? It's your host, Chris DeMakes, and I'm headed back to the Punk Rock Museum. That's right, the powers that be have invited me back, and I couldn't be more excited. Allow me to be your guide as we wind through 5 decades of punk rock history, merchandise, and memorabilia. Cinco de Mayo weekend, Friday, May 3rd, Saturday, May 4th, and Sunday, May 5th. There'll be 2 tours each day at 12:30 p.m. and 4 p.m. And the best part for me is you. Your stories, your questions, your experiences. Yep, some of you old punkers have taught this guy a thing or two on these tours, and I love it. Head over to thepunkrockmuseum.com for tickets. Don't miss out. Only 30 spots per tour. Get your tickets now at thepunkrockmuseum.com. Hey, it's your host, Chris DeMakes. Do you know that I write custom songs? Well, here's a bit of my work. I can write you a ska song or maybe a punk song.
Actually, you don't want to hear me rap. Pick any other style. Trust me.
I could even write a ballad for your anniversary or your birthday.
Looking for a voiceover, jingle, or music for your business, podcast, or TV show? Well, look no further. I'm your guy.
For more info, email me at chrisdemakes@gmail.com. Now let's get into this awesome episode. Hey, ghouls and goblins, do we have a fun one for you? Today's guest is Mummy Cass, guitarist and vocalist for the Nashville, Tennessee funk rock party band Here Come the Mummies. We take a deep dive into their fan favorite song, Pants, taken from the 2008 album, Single Entendre. Mummy Cass enlightened me to not only their songwriting process, but also their recording process. The band, made up of well-known studio musicians and Grammy Award-winning producers and mixers, none of whose true identities are known, recorded this particular track live in the studio. He talked of how the initial demo and writing of the song was pretty much what ended up as the final version, except for the horn solos, which were charted out before recording. I mentioned how the band throws off the ultimate party vibe, and Mummy Cass couldn't have agreed more. That's what this band strives to do, have fun, and more importantly, bring that fun to their live audiences. And we talk about how the Bob and Tom Show introduced Here Come the Mummies to millions of fans. For all this and much more, grab a bottle of your favorite potion, sit back, and enjoy this spooktacular episode.
Hey, hey, have you heard? Chris DeMakes a podcast. Hey, hey, have you heard? Chris DeMakes a podcast. Hey, hey, have you heard?
All right, Mummy Cass, how are we doing today?
I'm doing good, baby. How are you feeling?
I am feeling fantastic because I am talking to you. What a crazy, interesting band. I don't know if you know much about me, but I've been the guitarist and singer for a band called Less Than Jake for going on 30 years now, and I have certainly heard of your band over the years, but I haven't gotten to know more about you really until I started diving in for this episode, because your band is shrouded in mystery. That's your whole thing. And I tried my damnedest, and with the internet these days and everything at your fingertips, I figured that, you know what, I'm going to be able to find out who's in this band, and you can't. I don't know how, for being a band for 20 years, you've kept it under wraps, but congratulations. So Mummy Cass, the guitarist and vocalist for Here Come the Mummies.
Man, there's rumors about who we are. I mean, someone thought that Justin Timberlake was in the band. Somebody said a Flaming Lips guy and a guy from Journey were in the band. And I can assure you with 100% honesty and truth that we are mummified people from 4,000 years ago.
And I want to let my listeners know that I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but I conduct these my podcast through Zoom just so we can see each other. And the show is audio only, but for the listeners, you know, if you're not familiar with Here Come the Mummies, go take a look at them. And I want to let you know that Mummy Cass is in full regalia right now, like he just walked out of the crypt. Yeah, this is great.
I can't do anything about this, but lucky for you, I'm looking good. And I mean, it might be hard for you to concentrate because I'm such a good looking devil, man. Let me tell you.
No, I love a band. I built a career on shtick. I love a band with shtick, but I also love a band with shtick and substance. And man, you guys are players. I mean, each one of you, the band is just on fire. I encourage all my listeners, if you don't know the band, check them out. Check out the live videos. I was just watching you guys from a couple years ago at a wonderful theater I played before called the Blue Note in Columbia, Missouri. And man, it's just watching this audience for an underground band. You just have this cult following. Just the women are just dancing and shaking. The whole audience is screaming as loud as they can. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read real quick. I usually don't do this, but again, I tried my best, and I go through a lot of preparation for my episodes, and to be quite honest with you, it was kind of hard to get info on you, because that's what you're about is this mystery. But from the website, it says, cursed after deflowering a great pharaoh's daughter or daughters, Here Come the Mummies have been delivering their brand of terrifying funk from beyond the grave since the year 2000 AD. While their lyrics leave little to the imagination, their raps have been the topic of much speculation. Some say they are reincarnated Grammy-winning studio musicians. Theories abound. Regardless, Here Come the Mummies' mysterious personas, cunning songcraft, and unrelenting live show will bend your brain and melt your face. Maybe that's why the ladies and some dudes can't stop losing their minds over these mayhem-inducing mavens of mirth. And I went on to do a little aside here. You may want to add this to your bio. Such hits as She Loves Dick, Attack of the Wiener Man, and Booty. And of course, this fine gem that we'll be talking about today, which is Pants, which is awesome.
That bio was written by a guy named Alex Alliteration, man. It's true, man. He got a lot of use of the M's in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Pants is taken from your 2008 album, which I love this title, the 2008 album Single Entendre. And so set this particular tune up for me, Mummy Cass, if you can, where you were when you wrote it and what was the inspiration?
All right. Well, I got the story, as I remember it, a long time ago, a guy kind of approached the band and said, I think this thing should be on Broadway, and wanted some kind of cross between Stomp, Blue Man Group, and The Lion King, for all I know. And he said, can you guys go try to write something? So a bunch of us got together and said, man, we're musicians. We can't do the musical stuff we can't write a Broadway musical. So I think it was Eddie Mummy came up with the title. He wanted to, and even the chorus, he said, I want to write a song about, you know, coming in my pants, going on a date. So a couple of us kind of got the ideas formulated, and Eddie Mummy and myself sort of finished it off. And we tried to make a picture of what this first date would be. Like if Bob Saget was going on a date with Vanna White and he had to drive his Nissan Juke to pick her up, you know? And so, you know, everyone's a little nervous. And I would think that Bob Saget would be nervous going to see Vanna White on a date.
I would think so.
And anyway, and then we took some liberties to make sure the title fit with the date, story. It's fairly simple, but you're right, man. As Freud said, if it's not one thing, it's your mother.
I love it. I love it. So, you know, can you answer me this? Does all the band live in one spot, or are you kind of spread apart? And how do you write if you're spread apart? Do you send demos, MP3s to each other? You have your own studios?
Well, we do have our own studios, but we do live in one underground crypt.
Okay.
But it's huge. I mean, you could walk a mile underground and maybe go to KW Tut's room, and he's got a little studio there. But KW Tut is I should say most people have heard KW Tut's mixes out there on the radio.
Gotcha. Well, again, yes, there is definitely some good intel that you guys are Grammy winning studio musicians and that have, you know, as you just said, mix some songs that we've all heard in the radio. And I'm sure that that's true. I'm looking here. Is there currently 11 people still in the band?
Well, we usually tour with an 8-piece band on stage, but there's been so many Mummies over the years. Like, a lot of them will sometimes go get a gig somewhere with somebody famous or be in the studio somewhere. But we have been really lucky to end up with a bunch of really good guys that are willing to show up. So yeah, we've got like nine members on stage now. We just added Dr. Yo. He was a substitute horn player for a while, but now he's kind of permanently, because he sings great and he's been picking up some of my slack over the years. But we have had over 70 Mummies.
That is really cool. Well, again, you've been a band now for 21 years, so it's been some time. I could see you, especially with your work schedules, if you're all so busy and doing different projects, like, hey, I can't go on the road right now. I got to mix this record. So you take another Mummy out with you.
Yeah, a lot of times the pole will be a substitute for KW Tut. They're both bass players. And like the horn section, it's mainly the same guys probably for the last 15 years. But there'll be some subs that come and go, and a few of them have gotten some pretty good gigs that we're not allowed to talk about. But yeah, they're out. You see them on, you know, Jimmy Fallon sometimes.
Well, again, I you know, and I certainly wouldn't have given it away if had I found out. I would have kept your mystery about you. But I dug, and I was telling our producer Chris before the show, you know, I know that. For instance, you're in Columbia, Missouri at the Blue Note. You played there. You guys have to have friends that come out to the show. How the friends come back, unless you just have a no-friend policy, you don't have anybody backstage, nobody knows, you told your wives not to tell their girlfriends, not to tell anybody, because I don't know how, in this day and age with the internet, you've kept this under wraps. Kudos to you guys. It's incredible.
We make sure our wives don't talk to our girlfriends. No, I'm kidding.
That's a good start. That's a good start.
I think only our wives know. Our friends don't even know. We just have a mysterious session that we have to do this weekend.
It's so cool because there's not many bands that could pull this off. You know, I love your name. Mummy Cass is hilarious. Eddie Mummy kills me. And on trumpet and deafening squeals, we have the High Priest of Death.
Yeah, H-Pod. So, we just shortened his name to H-Pod.
H-Pod. Well, the track we're about to dive into is called Pants. The song is 3 minutes and 25 seconds long. And, you know, even in your bio, and I've seen a couple other things written online that you guys, and there certainly are funk elements. There's rock and roll elements to you. But this particular track, just when it just starts out, it just has to me like a Latin feel to it. Immediately when I heard this song, I loved it. You just come on. It makes you want to dance. It makes you happy, you know, and that's really cool.
Oh man, it's funny. We got a couple Latin guys and a couple guys that are, that play Latin. They're not Latin guys, but they play Latin. So there's definitely an influence in there. But when we were writing this song, we were discussing, one guy had to bring up a bunch of songs that he hated. And he did not like Smoke on the Water. So that horn riff is a light homage to the guitar riff on Smoke on the Water.
I can hear it now. The bump, 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 bump.
but it's different enough, but it's funny that it comes out Latin because it was played by the guy who hates Smoke on the Water, and he's a Latin trumpet player.
That is, I never would have put two and two together with that, but now I can hear it. That's crazy. Yeah. But like I said, you're such the perfect band in the sense that, you know, people don't have to know your songs. You, first of all, just, they see these Mummies come out on stage, your stage show, you know, you got the fire machines on stage and you come out and you just the whole, it's a spectacle, but the songs are just so well crafted. And like I said, you guys are monster players. There's no fat on the bone here. I mean, you guys are killer. As I said, the track is 3 minutes and 25 seconds long. There's a 16 second intro. This has, like I said, this like Latin feel. The whole band is in right off the top. Sax and the trumpets, there's a B3 organ there. It's just catchy as hell. And then we drop into the first verse, which is three lines. And I'm going to read these lyrics. I'm going to have you set it up for me, Mommy Cass. Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway. Stick it in the pig, pop it in the bank. Saturday is coming quicker than you think.
Oh, man, it's simple. It sounds a little nasty, but it's not, baby. It's counting down the days to your first date with Vanna White. And when it's Wednesday and you got to take your money, you put it in the piggy bank, and then you take it to the bank and you save your money, because Vanna White's not going to, you know, she's not going to walk like McDonald's drive through. You know what I'm saying?
No, she's a little more high end than that, right?
Yeah, it's got to be down to the letter with that girl.
I love right after the first line, Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway. There's these two quick snare rolls and then the band comes to a complete stop. Then there's this little piano lick that happens before the whole band jumps back in for the other two lines.
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway. Stick it in the big, pop it in the bank. Saturday's coming quicker than you think.
It's just classy, and it's just, you can tell that you guys are players. Jumping into the pre-chorus, it's still full band, but it goes to like this, you know, like bass drum buildup. And the lyric is 48 to rendezvous. I'm going to blow a wad on you. Oh, oh, oh. And,
think 48 to rendezvous. I'm going to blow a wad on you. Oh, oh, oh.
Set these lyrics up for you. Then I have some questions about the track.
All right. Well, you know, obviously there's 2 days until the rendezvous, and you know, the wad, which I guess we've always had this joke about having to go to songwriter court and explain ourselves, because I think some people might have taken these lyrics the wrong way. But
yes,
the wad that we might be talking about in this song is the wad of cash.
Yes. Yeah, I'm gonna blow my wad of cash on you.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that. Again, I researched it, and this is where I would start asking about the writing of the song in terms of like the producer. I'm assuming you can't tell me who produced it, but can you tell me if somebody in the band produced the track? Did you guys all produce it?
Yeah, I mean, it's all in-house produced by the guys in the band.
Okay.
A lot of times, like, I think, you know, Eddie Mummy and myself will write most of the songs, but Spaz has written a ton of songs. We've been writing with KW, Tut, and Midnight Mummy, who's kind of come on the scene in the last 5 years, really strong with the songwriting stuff. And then we'll go to kind of demo land and we'll take it up and kind of do a quick version of the song. And sometimes we'll record it as a full band with the horns and everything at the same time. But a lot of times it's the rhythm section. When we record with Midnight Mummy, he's great because he's a horn player. So we can kind of have him play a rough sketch of what we think the horns are going to be. So the producing is a lot of times in the demo stages with Eddie Mummy and myself. Eddie's playing drums, I'm doing guitars and vocals most of the time. And then, like, if we go into rhythm section land, it's kind of a, I'm going to call it a democracy, because I mean, we do listen to everybody's ideas. And again, like that piano role you were talking, the piano thing you were talking about.
Yeah.
Spaz is brilliant with musical hooks. And sometimes he plays too many, but you know, he's always comes up with, yeah, so many things, like you got to make sure you get it in the song. So we'll add a couple bars so we can get that brilliant piano thing in there. You know,
he's a ripper. And I guess up to this point, I'll ask you right now, do you remember the evolution of the song, the initial demo that maybe you or Eddie Mummy had come to the band with? Was this pretty much the lyric and pretty much the arrangement up to this point?
Yeah, I think the arrangement and the lyrics were all the way they are. But I think we cut this thing totally in the studio with everybody.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a long time ago that we did this song, but yeah, it's probably almost 20 years ago.
And I can believe that, because I could not believe, again, you could just tell that you guys you know, your studio musicians. You're incredible. For those of you who haven't seen it, check out type in the Mummy's Pants on the Bob and Tom Show. There's over 2.8 million views of the song on there. And seeing you play that song live, you played it on their show a couple times live. Just seeing it on there and just the musicianship, it sounds like the studio recording. So it's not surprising to me that you cut this live off the floor.
Man, yeah, and we got ourselves a heck of a good live engineer, and he's mixed a few of our live videos and live, you know, music that we put out. But yeah, he knows what he's doing, man. And we got in ears. We put the in ears in, and we're listening to some nice sounding tones from everybody every night. It feels good to be on stage, you know, especially with the current group of guys we got.
For a bunch of guys that looks dead, you actually feel alive. I that's what your sounds like.
Yeah, man. Some nights are better than others, like as you know. But most of the time, it almost doesn't matter where we're playing, and we can feel the energy of the crowd. And I gotta say, the only people that are weirder or a stranger in that whole building is the guys in the band.
Well, what I loved about watching the Bob and Tom Show is just seeing the Bob and Tom and their staff just crack up when you get to certain lyrics, you know, because it's just, like I said, it's fun. There's times when there are lyrics or there's things that are crass, and sometimes crass can be funny, but sometimes it's just too over the top, and you know, nothing really offends me. I like a dirty joke or a dirty song, but there's some class, there's some finesse going on here, you know, the line, "I'm gonna blow a wad on you." Yeah, of course it's about money. It's not about what your dirty mind is portraying, right?
And it's funny. I think the Bob and Tom guys really kind of responded to that stuff pretty quick. They got their own music, and they make some pretty clever tunes that kind of goes along the we'll call it the double entendre route, but without the Bob and Tom guys, they made this band take off. I mean, without them, we wouldn't have gotten the audiences that we got. And
I believe that really helped you. Like I said, the views that you had on there eclipse a lot of the other stuff that you have online. So I could really tell. And again, when I watched your live performances of you out at venues, this isn't just a couple people in the front row, the whole audience. You know, I call it that cult following. You know, I'm lucky enough. My band has that. We're not superstars. We're not on the radio, but the people that come to see us play, the whole building knows who we are. And that's a beautiful feeling. Before we go any further, just wanted to say that, you know, again, for as much as you guys have going on outside of the band, each one of you being accomplished producers, studio musicians, etc., you guys have released 10 studio albums, 4 EPs, and 4 live albums over the years. That's an incredible amount of material. Very prolific for being so busy outside of the band.
Yeah, man. We're always working on it. And, you know, it's kind of the dream. When we get together, it seems like there's no shortages of, slightly off colored jokes. And there's always a title in there. And I was getting a signal from, one of my behind the scenes guys, like, we wrote a song about everlasting love called Kinda Lingers. And, we got kicked off of WGN in Chicago for playing it.
With you and your smile, trickling us up in the morning, trickling us all through the night, trickling us dead and dying. She wants me, it's all right.
I think they mistook the words "Kinda Lingers" for something else, but.
Ah,
yeah. And the Bob and Tom guys, those guys got it right away.
Sometimes you have to stick to who you are. That's their problem if they didn't get it, those people
exactly.
In Chicago.
If it's too dirty for you, then maybe shame on you. What are you thinking about, man?
Yeah, what skeletons are in your closet?
Hey, everybody, don't you dare go anywhere. There's lots more Chris DeMakes a Podcast after these messages from our sponsors. If you're looking for an inexpensive and unique gift for a friend, family member, or even for yourself, check out iloveenamelpins.com. From Hollywood stars like Jeff Goldblum and Meryl Streep
to fictional characters like the Golden Girls or Jack Torrance, to sports stars and musicians and politicians and dogs and cats, there's something for everyone at iloveenamelpins.com. As an added bonus, use the discount code ChrisDeMakes at checkout to save 30% off your order at iloveenamelpins.com.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind. And right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaking microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick. And usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work. But we talk about decidedly not so grown-up things like
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life. And then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers. Think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe to Grind podcast.
And now, back to the show.
Well, at the 37-second mark, pretty quick, we're in the first chorus. And I'm going to recite these lyrics and then I'll have you talk about these and I'll go into some other things I want to discuss with the arrangement. I'm coming in my pants, my shirt. It's my best suit, baby. Gonna pick your flower. Gonna be there in an hour. Coming in my pants, shined shoes, in my necktie, honey. I'm so excited. I hope that I don't come too soon. And on the word soon, you hold it out. Soon!
Oh, oh, oh! I'm coming in my pants, my shirt, in my best suit, baby. Gonna pick your flower, gonna be there in an hour. I'm coming in my pants, shine shoes, and my necktie, honey.
In my notes, I wrote that kind of sounds like you've vocally hit your climax.
Yeah, man, you don't want to do premature datulation. You know, you don't want to show up too early for your date. You don't want to be late either. You don't want Vanna getting upset. But as long as you get there within like 3 minutes, but if you show up at like an hour early and the sun's still shining, you don't want to be there, baby.
It's a bummer. But yeah, so you're saying I'm coming in my pants. You got these great pants, my shirt, your best suit.
You got to dress up for your first date. You want to dress to impress.
And after that vocal climax, that high note of soon, like I said, the band stops completely. And then when it comes back in, it's another full re-intro of the top of the song. And by now, again, the song is so catchy and so danceable that just, and I loved it. When this re-intro part came on in the live video I watched from Missouri, just now now they're really dancing. Now you got them. You know, you had them from the get-go, but now they're really moving. It's really cool.
We want to make sure that people can sing the chorus by the second time it comes around, hopefully. You know?
Yeah, that's the idea, right?
Yeah, that's the goal, man. We didn't. This should be music you can dig if you've got, you know, ADD, you know what I'm saying?
Well, no, and I know I've brought this up a couple times now, but I think there's something important to what I said earlier, and I'll say it again, is there's a, I don't mean simplistic at all by the musicianship, but there's something a little simplistic here that the lyrics are kind of face value that you, like you said, you can you remember them after the first chorus, and you can sing the hook, and the music is just so catchy that you don't have to know the band to love it, you know, and the way you guys execute it, especially with all your outfits and everything, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, we try for that, but anytime we feel we're falling short, we get our light guy to shoot some lasers and
Which your light guy is on point, man. He had some great, the lights went great with this song. You know, the in the first verse that the snare does, I was talking about in that first line, the lights go with it perfect. So kudos to him. After this full reintro, we're into verse number two. And this is cool because I'll get into the lyrics in a second. But after the first line here, it's the same snare roll again. But after the snare roll, there's not silence. There's like this cool hi-hat kick tom fill that happens. And then we're into the lyrics. I can't move on. Attention is long gone. Suits all pressed. Wallets in shape. The only thing that's left is a little manscape.
We've been accused of being metrosexuals. We like to keep everything neat and trim.
Yeah, you got to trim your beard up, right? Before you go on the date with Vanna.
There's no like eyebrow hair, no ear hair hanging out. Got to do the manscaping, baby.
What I love about pre-chorus number two, which we get into, is we're a day closer now, Mommy Cass. We're not 48 hours out. This lyric is 24 to rendezvous. I'm going to blow a wad on you. Oh, oh, oh. And on you and on the O-O's. There's a harmony. After 24 to rendezvous, that line, this time, there's a really cool, catchy, I can't wait, backing vocal. Do you recall, was that on the first demo, or is that something in the studio that you just wanted to kind of build the song at this point?
I can't remember if it was on the demo or not, but those could have been the little voices in my head, like the little leprechauns that tell you to eat Cool Whip and burn things. You know what I'm saying? that's the sound that's happening in my head on the way to the date. I just can't wait, baby.
I love that backing vocal. It adds this this sense of like urgency, like this, you know, but an optimistic urgency. I can't wait, you know, like you're going on that date, you know. It's I love that. And then we're back into the chorus again. We're in chorus number two. I'm going to read this again. And I want to talk about the backing vocals on this one when we get into it. Again, the lyric is, I'm coming in my pants, my shirt. It's my best suit, baby. Going to pick your flower. Going to be there in an hour. Coming in my pants, shined shoes, in my necktie, honey. I'm so excited. I hope that I don't come too soon. And again, the soon is held out. The band comes to a complete stop while that's ringing out. Catchy as hell. These are the same spots of harmonies that there were in the first chorus. And it's just on the line, best suit, baby. Gonna pick your flower. Gonna be there in an hour. Coming in my pants, shined shoes, in my necktie, honey. And there's no harmonies on the last line. Do you remember if that was a studio thing or when you were rehearsing this as a band, is that where you put the... I'm always intrigued by harmonies of why they're put in certain places, and it works wonderfully here, but, you know, why wasn't there a harmony on the last line or the first line? Why you put them where you put them?
I think maybe to kind of make some of the things a little different, but I don't remember why that happened or didn't happen. Everybody, all the whole rhythm section sings in this band, and a couple of them are really great singers. So there's always some kind of input and whatever feels right at the time. For some reason, I got a feeling that KW Tut had something to do with that. He's, you know, the mixer's involved. He probably wanted to maybe change the energy up or something.
Who has the high, high tenor voice or even alto voice? There's some high stuff in there. It almost sounded like a woman singing. Is there a woman singing anywhere on this track?
No, there's not. That might have been Uzi Mummy, who had a misfortunate accent with a blender about 5 years ago.
Okay.
But a lot of the high stuff, the high and the low stuff, was sung by Eddie Mummy. He kind of got a pretty good range. But I think
this song
might have had Uzi Mummy in it.
Okay, yeah, there's something up there. It almost, I don't even know how to describe it. It almost sounded like kind of like a woman gospel singer, that kind of soul type of flair to it. And I was like, is that a woman? So that's really, whoever did that is has a really high voice. It's really cool and really stuck out. Oh, 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 I'm coming in my pants, my shirt is my best suit, baby. Gonna pick your flower, gonna be there in an hour. Coming in my plant shine shoes and my necktie, honey. I'm so excited. After the second chorus, after that stop, we're right into a guitar solo. The horns are playing a killer counter melody to the solo, And then at about the 2 minute mark, for about 5 seconds, the band does this killer descending dun, 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 part that just kind of leads down into the bridge. About this a little bit, like, you know, I know you said you cut this song off the floor. Was this part, the guitar solo and what the horns are doing, was that improvised, or did you remember spending time on that?
Well, I know that we had planned that out, because some of these songs will send the demo to one of the horn players to do a chart, because it's kind of hard to get a section together and play it together. So I've always been a big fan of the horn solely, which, for those who don't know, that's kind of the name that nerdy music horn players used for a sort of a solo sectional of horns. You know, if all the horns are playing something together, instead of a solo, they call it a solee. And I always, it's almost so many songs, I say, hey man, can we get the horns doing something together here? I've always liked that in some of the Earth, Wind, and Fire stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the Commodores have things like that. Cool and the Gang do.
Cool, I was gonna say, Cool and the Gang. Yeah, even as back as, like, as far as the Temptations and some of that stuff.
Yeah.
What's really interesting is, you know, you guys have, I believe, at least live, you use two trumpets and a saxophone. Is that what's on this track?
I don't remember, but right now, when we had a trumpet player and the Flu was playing baritone sax, he wrote mm-hmm. on the charts. And then we had Mummy Ra playing tenor sax. Now the Flu is switched to an alto sax. So, and there's been a couple times, like back then we had two trumpets, a bari and an alto. Sorry, a bari and a tenor.
The section sounds incredible. And again, not sure if you know about my band. My band has a horn section. I say section, it's two people. It's a saxophone and a trombone. So I've been around horns for many years. You guys, the playing on this is exceptional. It is so good. And I love this solo part, because what starts out as a guitar solo, halfway through I was realizing I'm listening to both a guitar solo and a horn solo. They're both kind of coexisting together, which I love that part.
The original idea for this band was to not single anybody out. We didn't want people to, you know, like the lead singer or the, you know, the soloist or something. So we try to make sure everybody's got, I guess, time to be creative on the records and live. You know, get your time, do whatever you want, give us a nod when you're done with your solo.
Well, I gotta say, you know, and again, you've been around. I've certainly heard your name over the years, but there again, there's this mystery that you guys have too that kind of keeps you pushed back a little bit. You're not in the forefront so much, and a lot of that has to do, I'm sure, with all the other stuff you have going in your lives. But you know, not for nothing here. You're my new old favorite band. Does that make sense? You're
all right. That's cool.
I love it. I love everything about the whole thing. Is just great. And I've started diving into some of your other tracks. It's really cool. After this guitar solo, horn solo section, we get into a bridge, which is pretty much like an extended pre-chorus at this point. It's the same chord progression, and I love this part, because lyric is you're still 24 hours out, 24 to rendezvous, and the I can't waits are there again. I can't wait. But there's also an I can't wait growling, sneering vocal, which is panned off to the left, kind of out of time. And now that I'm talking to you, that sounds like you doing that.
It's not me, though. That was Java Mummy. Yeah, he left the band, man. I miss him every single day. He was usually the guy that did the interviews, and he did a lot of, like, the, I don't know if it, MC is the right way to do it, but he was kind of, we'd have certain parts of the show where he would get the audience going. And when he left, it kind of broke my heart because now the job falls on me.
It kind of reminded me where it's kind of like off time a little bit. It's like this, I can't wait, this growling, like sinister type thing. But it almost like made me kind of harken back to like something like Little Richard would do, you know, his little things that you just kind of put kind of off time to the music. Just like, I just love that part. And then the second line, I'm going to blow a wad on you. And then the I can't waits are there twice with a ow. There's just a quick ow. It kind of sticks out at you.
He was kind of a troglodyte. I don't know if you know that song, but
big woman. Her name was Bertha. Bertha Butt. It's one of the Butt sisters. He didn't care. He looked up, he said, suck it to me, 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 suck it to me.
But he's kind of got that deep funk, like, you know, out of the movie Dolomites or something like that. He was like a lovable evil guy. I don't know how else to put it, but he was naughty. He was a funny dude.
Yeah, it just kind of adds something here because, again, you're kind of hearing the basically the pre-chorus, but it's extended. The third line is 24 to rendezvous. I can't wait. I can't wait. And then there's that sneering vocal again of I can't wait. You get on that line.
You did it right with the fist too, man. He used to put his fist up just like that.
And the listeners can't see it, but Mummy saw me put my fist up when I said that. I can't wait. I'm going to blow a wad on you and on you and on the OOOs that set up for the chorus. There's harmonies on those parts. And during this whole thing, it's like breakdown drum parts with lots of cool fills and energy. So again, it harkens back to the pre-chorus, but it gives it a different feel here.
Yeah, I think Eddie Mummy might have been channeling Keith Moon on that, or Animal from the Muppet Show.
That is the perfect the perfect comparison. Animal and Keith Moon right there. Yeah, there's a lot going on, but it's classy. It's not overplayed.
Well, you might be the first to say that, but we'll take it, man.
Yeah, no, I say it's not overplayed. It might be overplayed, but it's I think it's perfect for this part. Getting into now the last chorus, which is a double chorus here, and I'm going to read it. Usually by the third chorus, I don't read all the lyrics again, but I think these need to be read again for the listeners. I'm coming in my pants, my shirt. It's my best suit, baby. Going to pick your flower. Going to be there in an hour. And on that line, going to be there an hour, there's like some vocal scatting, I'm calling it. That's kind of pan left. I couldn't really distinguish what was actually being said. Like, there's just something going on over there.
I gotta listen to it again. I think that was Java again, but KW Tut has always been known for this, for singing gibberish on some of the tracks. You can hear him in there spelling out words that don't exist.
Yeah, no, there's some definitely some gibberish going on there, but again, it adds to this. It's a party element. It almost feels like by the time I got to this point in the song and I've heard this, and like I said, it's kind of panned off to the left. I feel like I'm at a party and I'm watching this band, but there's people talking behind me. That's kind of what it made me feel like, and I think that really adds something to the track.
Well, man, it should feel like a party. That's the whole thing. We say this in our shows every night, but we kind of believe more is more with this band especially. And so
yeah,
if the party vibe's there, I mean, this band's all about people maybe forgetting maybe problems they're having at home or any bad stuff that's happening in the world. This should be a little off switch or maybe a little rest area for all the stuff each person's dealing with individually. Come here, have a good time, and be nice to everybody. But that's what we want. We want that party vibe. You want everybody feeling good, and hope. I'm glad that you picked that up. We try to do that. We always do double choruses. Hopefully people are singing along.
Again, there's something real here. You guys are players. You got the show. And there's an underlying thing here that I take away is it's fun. It's just fun. You know, it's like you're at a party. This track just oozes that. And I loved going I always do research seeing a band play live. I like to get that vibe too, but I loved watching the audience react to you, because it was what I thought it was going to be, and it made me happy just to see people grooving. They were dancing so hard to you and singing every word.
Yeah, man, we love seeing new people in the audience. I mean, we've got people everywhere after, you know, after 20 something years of touring around. We've got a really pretty good audience, but there's always new people there, and you can see their faces when they start listening to the lyrics and maybe getting distracted by the light show or whatever.
Right, right. Well, on the it continues on here after that vocal scatting. We're still in the last chorus, the first half of it. Coming in my pants, shine shoes, and my necktie, honey. I'm so excited. I hope that I don't. And then it says, I won't. Or I have a question mark there. I don't know if you says, I hope that I won't or I don't. I couldn't tell. You know, what's that lyric there?
Man. That is probably supposed to be I don't, but it could have been missed.
Which is cool. Which is actually cool. You don't get the come too soon. You don't get that there. But you know, now that you're into the second half of the chorus, that it's probably coming. No pun intended. We get into the last half of chorus three. I'm coming in my pants, my shirt. It's my best suit, baby. And on that line, it's my, on the word my, you hear the sinister growly vocal say, whoa, I'm going to come in my pants. And when I heard that, I actually laughed out loud because it's so ridiculous. It was just, you know, it made me smile. What can I say? I'm genuinely laughing. I'm smiling ear to ear. It's great.
Well, when we recorded these songs, especially in the early days, we would just let Java go. We just put the song, yeah, put it in record, and sometimes we'd give him two or three, passes at it. And I think I've got about 6 hours of Java just saying whatever is kind of like, was that Mystery Theater 2000 with a,
yeah,
it's sort of like he's commenting on the lyrics as they go by. And I think I got 6 hours of him ad-libbing stuff.
Well, I love that part on the Bob and Tom show, though. They about pissed themselves when he said that. It's just, it killed me. Going to pick your flower. Going to be there in an hour. Coming in my pants, shine shoes, and my necktie, honey. I'm so excited. I hope that I don't come too soon. And on the second half here of chorus three, after the first time after you say, I'm so excited, the drums go to double time. And it's just building, you know. And it's and the chorus is just rocking, but it's just adding this extra energy there. And the last line has the soon again. And then there's this, aw, damn.
Yeah.
Which almost makes me think, I'll try to, let me see if I can massage this a little bit. Almost makes me think like he arrived too soon. How's that?
Yeah, man. It's all, you know, timing is really important with dating. And yes, you want to build up to the most glorious evening you can have. And if you time it wrong, maybe somebody goes home disappointed.
Yes, and that sounds like, he might have been a little disappointed. Again, there's killer drum fills, and there's just this classic rock ending with the cymbals and the drums kind of ringing out. And the song ends, and I had to actually look this up, Mummy Cass. I didn't know the term for this. It ends with a glissando. And a glissando, a gliss for short, is when you take your hands on a piano and you go all the way down, and there's a gliss, and then there's a cymbal snare kick drum hit, and then it just ends with the low piano D flat note, and the song is done, and it's awesome.
Well, man, I don't know where it, I think if you kept the tape playing after that, you would have heard more of that stuff. we always had this kind of competition. It was all in fun to make the other guys laugh. But who could be the last note on each song? We still do it a little bit live. Like, who can hold their note out just a little longer or do one less hit? And I think in Spaz wins most of these. I got to be honest with you.
It's those little things, and when you're in a band for as long as you've been in the band, they keep it interesting, huh?
Yeah, and again, this song was one of the first earliest songs in the band too. So we were doing some of these kind of internal games with each other way back then.
Yeah, well, you know, you got a new fan. This floored me. My producer Chris had brought you guys again. I had heard of you, but he brought it to my attention. So we should get the, you know, Here Come the Mummies on. And I'm so glad that he suggested it. I have dove right in. I love it. I can't wait to see you guys live and hopefully play a show with you sometime. It'd be an honor. Can you leave our listeners with anything you have going on? I know that you're going to be playing a show soon. Where my producer Chris grew up in Belle Vernon, Pennsylvania.
Oh yeah, man, we've got a lot coming up. We're probably going to be able to quite possibly make up for all the dates we missed because of COVID. Yeah, we're going to be all over. We're going to hit all the same places we've always hit. We've got a big Halloween, you know, ready to go. And
well, and where's the best place for people if they want to find your tour dates? Best place to go look?
Yeah, go to our website at herecomethemummies.com.
Awesome.
But yeah, man, I'd love to do a show together, man. We're all over the place, especially Midwest. If you're torn, hit us up.
Right on. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. It was so great to talk to you. Thank you for making the time, and I wish you nothing but continued success. And like I said, you got a new fan. You guys are amazing.
All right, Chris and Chris, thank you, boys.
Take care.
All right, baby.
Hey, everybody, don't touch that dial. There's plenty more Chris to Makes a Podcast after a few words from our sponsors.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
As we near the end of the show, here's a band you might not know.
Welcome to this week's Band You Might Not Know. If you'd like your band to be considered for Krista Makes a Podcast, all you have to do is submit your song via MP3 only and bio to bandyoumightnotknow@gmail.com. Today's featured band is Sunliner from Leeds, England. They are a punk rock band which consists of Jake on vocals and guitar, Jonty on the guitar, Calfs on the bass, and Harry on the drums. Here's a snippet of their song, Structure.
The Wrap with Chris and Chris.
Well, that was incredible, man. And I'm so glad that my friend Josh played Here Come the Mummies for me, because the second I heard him, I'm like, we got to get them on the podcast.
You get all the credit. No, and like I said, while I was certainly familiar with the band, they never got into my ear until you really brought it up and I dove into it. Now I'm just like, wow, how did I miss these guys? And I meant what I said. I would love to play shows with this band. I think that LTJ fans would just get a kick out of it. They're just instantly catchy and fun.
Absolutely. I mean, your music's not exactly the same, but I feel like the element of fun
in your live show would just resonate with each other's audiences.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude, this band is awesome.
Well, and you and I talked about it, and I kind of even brought it up in the episode, and you know, he mentions, he says that's a funny joke about we don't tell our wives about our girlfriends or girlfriends about our wives or something. But I meant what I said. It's like, do they not have friends and people come backstage? Like, how have they kept this under wraps? You know, how does nobody know who these guys are? It's incredible.
Yeah, we dug and dug on the internet to try to figure out, like, who is this? Like, I want to know who KW Tut is. Apparently, it's someone that's mixing all these huge songs. But
now these guys are the who's who of not only studio musicians, but producers, engineers. They're behind the scenes. They're big names, who's ever in this band. And they do this for fun. They go out and play a few dates. You can just tell he loves what he does. And I don't know if he had any other press going on today, but it didn't take him 2 seconds to put on that outfit. Like, it's full makeup, his hands, his face. Like, this is like the real deal.
Dude, I feel bad that this is an audio only podcast because of this episode alone. Usually I'm like, why would people want to look at two people on a Zoom camera looking at each other? But this guy, I mean, this was an all-out mummy with candles and
it looked like he was in a dungeon. Like, I don't know if it was a backdrop behind him, it was like a brick wall. It looked like he was in a, you know,
it was amazing. It was so cool.
And I just love, and I said it a couple of times in the episode, or I alluded to the fact that there are shtick bands out there. There's bands you see at the bar and a couple guys are in wigs, or they have this or that, and it's kind of funny for the first song and a half, and then the musicianship starts to wear on you. Like, the drummer can't play and the guitar player's just all right. And now with this band, it's down to the whole production. Like I said, their lighting guy, the stage show, the props, the way they're dressed, the musicianship is just it's amazing.
The stage show will get you so far, but if the music doesn't back it up, then it's nothing more than costumes and lights. And not that that's not important, but the songs have to be there. And these guys have the songs, you know. And
they deliver.
one thing you talked about in this episode, and we've talked about this before, but I thought it was cool to hear Mummy Cass say it, was that in reference to this song, but I think it's in reference to most of their songs, is he wanted to make sure that the audience can sing the chorus by the second time they hear it. And this song's perfect example. Like, you know that chorus, coming in my pants, my shoes. You know it after the first time you hear it, which is, I don't know, that's just great songwriting.
No, it is. And I think that that's why, watching their live videos, why it works so well. I mean, I'm assuming that they're that kind of cult band that the fans are ravenous, that everybody in the building, the live videos that I saw, knows who they are, but might not be. It might just be that it's just so damn catchy musically, and the lyrics just hit you over the head, as he said, that by the second chorus, you know it already. It's that instantaneously catchy. It's so good.
I'm going to assume that their shows are half people that are the cult following, know all the lyrics. And then you have the other half of, like, people who their friends are like, you got to come see this band, and then just see the reaction and just can't help but get into it. I know that I would be like that. Now, by the time I go see them, I'm going to know their songs. But I think that if I was at their show, I wouldn't be able to resist, you know?
Yeah, they're the ultimate party band. They really are. They're that band that they could play anything. They could play the local fair downtown. People, kids of all ages, everyone's gonna love it. The songs are clean enough, at least the ones I've heard, that, like, there's that double entendre in there where, yes, they could play to a family gathering. These guys could get hired for a corporate party. They could do anything. There's so much fun.
You gonna take your family to go see Mummy singing about coming in their pants?
maybe. Yeah, because he's coming in his suit. He's coming in his shirt. He's showing up. You know, he's gonna blow his money, his wad on his.
Yeah, exactly.
Significant other, his love interest.
It made me laugh when he was talking about how they have a competition to see who can hit the last note in the song, yeah. Which I know that I've done that with my bands. You know, like, that's just like a funny band thing to do. That made me laugh. And
Well, it's just, you know, him talking about how they cut this live off the floor, which I totally believe it, because when I saw their performance on you know, Bob and Tom's show, that's just, wow. They're just players, you know, and you can tell they can back it up. And then, of course, watching their live performances from different venues, they're absolute rippers.
you can hear that live energy in the recording of this song for sure. And one thing, Chris, that he talked about in there is like from those live videos that you can go watch on YouTube is he's talking about the difference that in-ears make, that they have a real good, you know, mixing engineer when they're playing live. And dude, just recently in Punchline, we, you know, been playing with in-ears of practice and stuff. And oh my God, the world of difference after 20 some years of being at practice and just everybody's trying to out loud each other to be able to hear, you know, everybody turning up to be able to hear themselves and to just have a nice mix. That makes a world of difference.
Yeah, and for the listeners out there, you know, we always try to keep things down to basic terms here for everyone to understand and enjoy. You know, in-ears are in-ear speakers, and basically, you tilt your head to one side, and they actually squirt this gunk, this goo into your ear, and it molds, and they pull it out, and they send it off, and they have a mold of your ear canal, and they send you back these little, basically headphones that are molded, but they fit super tight. The first time you put them in, it's weird. It's almost like you're in the bottom of a swimming pool. You can't hear anything, and that's for that isolation. So that is in stark contrast to not playing with speakers in your ears and just listening to monitors off the floor and the music in the building. You're getting all the overtones. You're getting the fans screaming. You're getting your bass player being too loud. Hello, Roger. you know, it's very hard to hear some nights, and the in-ear monitors have really made everything. You know, you can decide if you want snare drum in your ears, or if you want more bass or more vocals, and it's a way more controlled environment to be able to listen to one another. And you know, for these guys being such amazing musicians, having those great tones in your ears, it adds to what Chris was just saying. It adds to that live feel.
Yeah, it adds to the energy, the way you feel when you're playing, you know, because if it, you know, sometimes you get lucky and the monitors sound great, but there's some nights where no matter what the engineer does with those monitors on the front of the stage, you're not going to get that feeling. But with in-ear monitors, you can have the same mix every night and you can always get that, I don't know, that live feeling.
Yeah. And like I said, the main thing that I took away from talking to him that really, really put a smile on my face was how much he enjoys this. He just had a smile on his face the whole time. Yeah, he was in character, but this wasn't just another interview at, you know, today. He enjoys what he does. He has this life as whether he's a studio musician, producer, whatever he does, he's somebody. I don't know who he is, but
dude,
he's somebody.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but who knows who we were just talking to? That's what's crazy. Like, who knows what he's played in, what band he's in, what he's produced? Like, we don't know. That's awesome.
No, he's definitely somebody. And to see him get a kick out of having this band with his friends, and you know that they just get in the studio and have a laugh. I mean, it's just some of these lines, like that one line where, you know, he yells out, whoa, I'm going to come in my pants. Like when that happened in the studio, I could just see everyone falling back in their chair. You know, it's hanging out with your friends, making fun music. It's really cool.
Hell yeah, man.
And speaking of hell, this was the second Halloween episode of the month, Chris.
Yes, I think this was a very fitting one that we had a mummy on for Halloween. Mummies are a big part of Halloween. Last week we had the Three Little Pigs guy. This week we got the mummy guy. We're getting all the guys.
We are. It's just the fact that he came dressed in full regalia, unabashed. I turned a zoom on, and there he is. That was awesome. Speaking of cool things, we have a supporting cast VIP group that we would love you to be a part of, where you can get bonus episodes, all kinds of other content, discounts on merchandise. You can find that at chrisdemakes.com. Come join us for some fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We make some cool after-party podcast episodes either every week or every other week, depending on if you do the $5 or $10 a month level. Regardless of which level you choose, it helps us out a lot. It helps us continue to make the podcast that you love. That's my catchphrase for joining supporting cast. You'll be supporting the podcast that you love. Little pause in there. You like that little pause?
I love it. Thanks for, and for real, thank you each and everyone out there for all your support. Everyone who has joined the Kristen Makes a Podcast Facebook group, and just anybody who tunes in each week to listen. I really appreciate it. Want to thank this week's guest, Mummy Cass, for being here with us. What a cool band. Here come the Mummies. Make sure to check them out, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, you. Do you have any plans this year? How's that going? Did you get 2020? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020, where myself, Benny Goodman, and my good friends Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like the Lumineers, Ani DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask? Good
morning. I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon. Again.